consider security clearance for the publication of my predecessor's memoirs, Solicitor General.
Yes, well, as you know, we've already approved Chapters 1 to 7, and I can see no reason to withhold approval for Chapter 8.
Ah, well, hold on a minute. I think there is some highly questionable material.
Such as?
Well, page 211, for start.
Well, it only says the Minister for Administrative Affairs supported the proposal to expand the Sellafield nuclear fuel plant in Cabinet, but spoke out against it in public.
Well, yeah, that was me. I was the minister.
The point is, it's not a security leak.
The point is, it isn't true. Documentation is fairly impressive. But with respect, Prime Minister, if he has libelled you, that's a matter for the courts after publication, not for the Security Clearance Committee before it. We can't have accusations like this spread around. It's not just page 211, either. On page 224, there's a scurrilous accusation about my stopping that chemical plant project because of a baseless press scare. Then there's an indefensible passage about me on page 231.
Oh, 231. Hacker was more interested in votes than principles, running for cover at the first whiff of unpopularity. Raised the average age of cabinet, but lowered the average IQ.
Thank you, Humphrey. We've all read the chapter. Yes, well, as I said, Prime Minister, I'm not in any way supporting or defending him, but it's not an actual security breach. After all, Chapter 5 got leaked to the press and we took no action.
Oh, well, Chapter 5 was very complimentary about my getting the Qumran contract. It's about my computer security guidelines.
It had just as much confidential material. And you never even had a leak inquiry about it.
Well, anybody could have leaked that chapter to the press.
Anybody.
I mean, even the title of Chapter 8.
The Two Faces of Jim Hacker.
That's not a secret, surely.
I'm sorry, I think there are security implications. Sellafield is nuclear.
But the energy secretary is responsible for Sellafield. He's seen the chapter and he says he has no problems.
Well, of course he has no problems. Describes him as the ablest minister in cabinet. That's another slur on me.
I don't think it's actionable.
Look, let's be clear about this. We have the right to refuse publication, haven't we?
We have. But if they ignore us and publish us anyway, my legal opinion is we shall have no hope of stopping it through the courts.
Then we must lean on the publishers.
On what grounds?
National interest.
Look, I've already explained
there are no obscene, scurrilous filth. It cannot be in the national interest to ridicule the national leader. I mean, undermine confidence in the national leader. Chapter 8 must not be published, right?
Well, Bennett.
No, not very, Sir Humphrey.
Has the Prime Minister seen that yet?
Well, I'm not sure, but they've been quoting it on the Today programme, and he'd have listened to it while he had his breakfast.
I heard it too. I'm afraid they had him for breakfast.
Yes, they had a particular fun with Jim Hacker raised the average age of the cabinet, but lowered
the average IQ. Yes. Actually, it is rather amusing.
Yes. But, yes. On the other hand...
I know. Have you any explanation for this leak?
Well, it wasn't me, sir.
Well, of course it wasn't you. It's hardly in your interest or mine to leak that particular chapter to the press.
But it's not just Chapter 8. It's the report that he tried to suppress it. That means the leak must have come from someone who was at the meeting.
Good morning, Sir Humphrey.
What makes him think that?
Is he, has he... I've got half of Britain's press corps in the press office, waiting for his response to the story.
Only half?
The other half are on the phone. Picked it up. Mm. I've had interview requests from Le Monde, the Washington Post, and Women's Wear Daily. How do you think you'll take it?
Well, we're just about to find out.
Well. Well.
Good morning.
Good morning. You're my press secretary, Bill. You realise what it is. It's a catastrophe.
Well, with respect, Prime Minister.
No respect at all, Humphrey. No respect for confidentiality, no respect for the national interest, no respect for the national leader. It's unforgivable. Who leaked it?
Who can say?
You can say. You'd better say. I want this traced at once. Must have been somebody at yesterday's meeting.
Well, I'll set up a leak inquiry straight away.
I don't want a leak inquiry. I want to find out who did it.
Prime Minister, when there is a leak, one normally doesn't really want to find out who's responsible, just in case it turns out to be one of your cabinet colleagues.
The Solicitor General and I were the only ministers present. Can't have been him. Law officers never leave. Besides, he had nothing to gain. It wasn't me, and all the rest were officials. I'm going to pursue this right through to the courts.
Prime Minister, I really have to have something for the press. They're all waiting, and there are 4 requests for TV interviews and 11 for radio.
Marvellous. All last week, I was dying to get on to tell them about my success in achieving détente with the Soviets. They didn't want to know. Now this happens. They charge in like a herd of vultures.
Not herd, Prime Minister.
Charge in like a herd of
vultures. No, I mean, vultures don't herd. They flock. And they don't charge, they...
But what do they do, then?
They,
Why can't the press support Britain? Why do they always have to be muckraking like this? Why can't they write about our successes?
Like
my détente with the Soviets.
Well, there are friendly noises coming from the Kremlin, but it hasn't actually led to anything concrete, though, has it?
It's going to.
I'm sorry, Prime Minister, but I do have to tell them something about this allegation that you tried to suppress a chapter of your predecessor's memoirs.
Very well. Talk to them off the record. Sources close to the Prime Minister. Say nothing attributable.
Oh, right.
But say that what he said about me is a complete pack of lies.
You mean about, running for cover and that sort of thing?
Yes. Yes, the only problem is, it is the author's opinion. We can't call him a liar for expressing his opinion.
Well, say that it's a pack of lies about my supporting Sellafield in cabinet, but speaking against it in public.
Yes, but the thing is, it is sort of true.
Oh, shut up.
But how do we say it's a pack of lies?
Prime Minister's recollection of events is significantly at variance with his predecessors.
Then say the cabinet minutes vindicate me completely, but... Unfortunately, owing to the terms of the 30-year rule, they can't be disclosed for another 25 years. Which makes his book deeply unfair, as well as totally untrue.
And what about the smears against you personally?
Smear him. Say that he's trying to rewrite history so as to make his own premiership look a little less disastrous than it really was. In fact, he's going gaga.
Passage of time and separation from official records have perhaps clouded his memory.
Yeah, what about the gag of it?
No more than one would expect from a man of his age.
Right, do?
Yes, that's okay for the chapter. Now, what about the story about your trying to prevent publication?
You'll say that's a pack of lies, too.
Garbled account of a routine meeting. There was never any question of suppression.
Fine.
And do you want to give any interviews?
No, certainly not.
Shall I say why?
Make it a quote. Insignificant matter, no national importance. Typical of the media's trivialization of politics.
And who shall I attribute that quote to?
Close cabinet colleague.
Thank you, Prime Minister.
This is a disaster.
Oh, surely it's not all that serious.
Not serious? Telling the British public they can't trust the word of their own Prime Minister?
They won't believe that.
Of
course not.
Well, they might. Otherwise, it would mean they couldn't trust the word of their own ex-Prime Minister.
Yeah, thank you, Bernard.
Thank goodness I've brought back a bit of honesty into British political life.
Thank goodness, Prime Minister.
Now, about nailing that leak.
Oh, I'm sorry to be pedantic, but if you nail a leak, you make another.
I want to trace the culprit.
Yes, Prime Minister.
And I want a prosecution.
Yes, Prime Minister.
And I want a conviction.
We can try and trace the culprit, we can prosecute. But under the present political system, there are problems about the government actually guaranteeing a conviction.
Little drinky with the judge?
It's unthinkable. There is no way any pressure can be placed on a British judge.
Well, how does one secure a conviction?
Well, simply, you find a judge who won't need any pressure put on him. A quiet word with the Lord Chancellor. Find a judge who's hoping to be made a Lord of Appeal and then leave justice to take her own impartial and majestic course.
That does the trick?
Well, not always. Sometimes they're so obviously trying for conviction that the jury acquits out of sheer bloody mindedness.
So you need to find a judge with a bit of common sense as well.
Oh, yes.
Won't be as easy as you make out.
So, what are you asking me to tell my readers?
I'm not asking you to tell your readers anything, Eric. I'm just putting my side of the story.
Not that important, is it? Why the big fuss?
because I have not got two faces, and I did not try to suppress that chapter.
Can I quote you?
No, you may not quote me, denying that I have two faces.
It was worth a try.
In a way, he's upset, Jim. I mean, I agree the article doesn't exactly flatter you, but
it's just part of the normal rough and tumble of political life, isn't it?
Well, I really don't think that a responsible newspaper ought to print such smears. Why did you?
Because it sold us over 100,000 extra copies.
Didn't you realise how damaging that accusation is?
That's my point.
It is a damaging accusation. It's up to you to clear it for publication. You say you didn't try to stop it.
Well, of course I didn't.
Why not?
It's a free country, Derek. Freedom of speech.
But it's seriously damaging to you personally.
Well, then, that's not that damaging.
Fine, what's the fuss then?
I mean, not the damage to me personally that I mind, it's the damage to Britain that I worry about. Undermining the leadership can seriously damage the nation. With foreigners, the pound, all that.
Ah.
So I want you to retract that suppression story.
I don't see how I can.
Of course you can. You're the editor, aren't you?
Yes, but an editor isn't like a general commanding an army. He's just the ringmaster of a circus. I mean, I can book the acts, but I can't tell the acrobats which way to jump.
I don't think it would be helpful if you made us think that we couldn't trust you. Obviously, we'd like to cooperate with the press, but you're making it difficult for us.
Prime Minister, I don't think it would be helpful if you made it seem as though you were hostile to our paper. Obviously, we like to cooperate with Number 10, but if it's war, then...
No. I wasn't suggesting... No, all I meant was that there could be exclusive interviews, photo opportunities...
If I retract?
If you print the truth.
Jim, I have to stick by my story until I get hard evidence that it's not true.
Such as?
The minutes of the meeting.
Well, I don't see why not. My integrity is at stake. Bernard, the minutes bear out my version of the meeting, don't they?
Well,
Yes, Derek, you may see them. But I know they're usually confidential, but this is a special case.
Can I publish them?
Well, we'll talk about that. I'll have another look at them. Bernard, show them to me this afternoon.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes, Bernard.
Have you got a letter?
Yes, then.
I've got a problem.
Yes, Bernard.
You know?
Yes, Bernard.
Ah.
Because you've just told me, Bernard.
I mean, do you know what my problem is?
Your problem is, Bernard, that you don't ever come to the point.
Yes, sorry. Well, the Prime Minister has just had lunch with Derek Burnham, the editor of...
Yes,
the...
I know he is, Bernard.
Yes, and the Prime Minister told him that the minutes of Cabinet Committee confirm that he didn't try to suppress Chapter 8 of the book, and that he would publish them if necessary to prove that he didn't.
So what is your problem?
Well, the minutes aren't written yet.
I see.
So, what should I do?
Write them, dear Bernard.
Yes, well, the problem is the Prime Minister did try to suppress the chapter, didn't he?
I don't know, did he?
Well, didn't he? Don't you remember?
What I remember is irrelevant, Bernard. If the minutes don't say that he did, then he didn't.
So you want me to falsify the minutes?
I want nothing of the sort. It's up to you, Bernard. What do you want?
I want to have a clear conscience.
A clear conscience?
Yes.
When did you acquire this taste for luxuries? Consciences are for politicians, Bernard. We are humble functionaries whose duty it is to implement the commands of our democratically elected representatives. How could we possibly be doing anything wrong if it has been commanded by those who represent the people?
Well, I can't accept that, Sir Humphrey. No man is an island.
I agree, Bernard. No man is an island entire of itself. And therefore, never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee, Bernard.
So what do you suggest, Sir Humphrey?
Bernard, the minutes do not record everything that was said at a meeting, do they?
Well, no, of course not.
And people change their minds during a meeting, don't they?
Well, yes.
So the actual meeting is a mass of ingredients for you to choose from.
Oh, like cooking?
Like, no, not like cooking. Better not to use that word in connection with books or minutes. You choose from a jumble of ill-digested ideas, a version which represents the Prime Minister's views as he would, on reflection, have liked them to emerge.
But if it's not a true record...
The purpose of minutes is not to record events. It is to protect people.
You do not take notes.
If the Prime Minister says something he did not mean to say, particularly if it contradicts something he has said publicly, you try to improve on what has been said, to put it in a better order. You are tactful.
But how do I justify that?
You are his servant.
Oh, yes.
A minute is a note for the records and a statement of action, if any. That was agreed upon. Now, what happens at the meeting in question?
Well, the book was discussed, and the Solicitor General advised there were no legal grounds for suppressing it.
And did the Prime Minister accept what the Solicitor General had said?
Well, he accepted the fact there were no legal grounds for suppression, but
he accepted the fact that there were no legal grounds for suppression. You see?
Oh.
Is that a lie?
No.
Can you write it in the minutes?
Yes.
How is your conscience?
Much better, thank you, sir.
Bernard Woolley?
Yes?
Your minutes were published in the Post today.
The minutes of Jim Hacker's meeting with the Solicitor General.
Yes, I know. Look, I've got to get to work.
Just answer a few questions for us.
I'm sorry, I can't comment.
But you'd agree, it all looks very suspicious.
What?
Well, he offered to publish them last Thursday. Why did it take so long?
Well, because they weren't...
Weren't cleared? Cleared for publication.
But the Prime Minister cleared them last Thursday.
Yes, but, well, there's the Official Secrets Act.
So how can they be cleared for publication if they're subject to the Official Secrets Act?
Well, the Prime Minister can clear anything.
So are you saying that the Prime Minister is not subject to the Official Secrets Act?
Well, no.
No, he is? Or no, he isn't?
Yes.
Come on. What you're saying is that Hacker makes the rules.
No.
That's just what you said.
Yes.
So when it comes to the Official Secrets Act, the Prime Minister is above the law.
Not in theory.
But in practice?
No comment.
That's very interesting, Bernard.
Look, I'm not sure I've made myself clear.
Well, you've made it very clear.
Look, one other thing. Is there any truth, Bernard, in the rumour that your minutes took 4 days to appear because Mr. Hacker can only type with two fingers?
Excuse me, I'm sorry. By the way, I was speaking off the record.
Yes? Sorry, Bernard. It's a bit late to say that now.
Prime Minister?
Yes, Bernard?
Have you got a moment?
Yes, Bernard.
I've got a problem.
Get on, Bernard.
Yes, well, it's just that, I've just been interviewed by the press.
You gave an interview?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Well, that's not your job.
Well, I know. I couldn't help it. It just happened. They just tapped me into speaking to them.
What did you say?
Nothing, really.
Well, what's your problem?
Well, they were asking me about you.
What about me?
About you and the Official Secrets Act.
And?
Whether you were bound by it.
Of course I'm bound by it.
Yes, of course you are. But it... It might not come out like that.
What do you mean?
Well, thinking back on what I said and what they said and what I said you said, what they may say I said you said, or what they may have thought I said I thought you thought. Well, they may say I said I thought you said you thought.
Go on, Bernard.
Well, I think I said... You said you thought you were above the law. Well, not intentionally. It's just the way it came out. I'm terribly sorry they were just asking me all these questions.
Bernard, just because people ask you questions, what makes you think you have to answer them?
Well, I don't know.
You've never answered my questions just because I...
I know.
After a lifetime in the civil service, an entire career devoted to avoiding questions, you suddenly decide to answer them today, and to the press, you must have flipped your lid, Bert.
Please don't shout at me, Prime Minister. I assure you, I won't answer any more questions ever again.
Get Humphrey and Bill in here.
Will you send Sir Humphrey in, please, and Phil Pritchard?
And if this question should ever arise again, Bernard, this is how you deal with questions. If you have nothing to say, say nothing. Better still, have something to say and say it, no matter what they ask. Pay no attention to the question, just make your own statement. And then if they ask the question again, what you say is, that's not the question. Or, I think the real question is, and then you make another statement of your own.
Well, how's that leak inquiry coming?
Well, Prime Minister, the wheels will be turning very soon.
Very soon? I asked you a week ago. What's the matter with you two?
Sorry, Prime Minister, I had no idea you were serious. Leak inquiries are not usually pursued.
Well, I want this one pursued. Rigorously and immediately.
Rigorously?
And immediately.
Immediately?
Immediately.
Oh, what... Do you mean you really want it pursued?
What's the little fool, Humphrey? I want it pursued. Now.
Very well, Prime Minister, if you're serious, I will arrange a genuine arm's-length inquiry, if that's what you really want. I'll get Inspector Plod of the special branch.
Now, I have to do something to improve our relations with the press, which have deteriorated considerably today. My esteemed private secretary saw fit to tell them that I felt myself to be above the law when it came to official secrets. Yes, you may well hang your head, Bernard. What's the constitutional position, Humphrey?
Well, Prime Minister, in a sense, Bernard was right. The question, in a nutshell, is what is the difference between a breach of the Official Secrets Act on the one hand and an unattributable off-the-record briefing by a senior official? The former, a breach, is a criminal offence. The latter, a briefing, is essential to keep the wheels turning. Now, is there a real objective difference, or is it a matter of convenience and interpretation? And it is a breach of the Act if there is an unofficial, non-attributable briefing by an official who's been unofficially authorised by the Prime Minister.
Not if it's been authorised by the Prime Minister, no.
That's what I say.
Well, surely it's up to me to decide whether it's in the national interest if something can be disclosed or not. The point is, it's not up to officials. And last week's leak must have come from an official.
But what if the official was officially authorised? Or even unofficially authorised? What if the Prime Minister officially disapproves of a breach of the Act, but unofficially approves? Now, that would mean that a leak would be unofficially official, but officially unofficial.
Thank you, Humphrey. You've been a tremendous help.
Thank you.
Now, we've got to do something to repair the damage that you two have done to me this week. Perhaps I'd better have lunch with another Fleet Street editor, a more friendly one this time.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Prime Minister, but I'm not sure that any of them are awfully friendly at the moment.
Couldn't we offer one of them a knighthood in the honours list?
Well, giving them knighthoods is a double-edged sword. It can work for or against you. The question is, do you have any control over them once you've given it?
I suppose any editor would have been rather pleased.
But having got an honour, he may feel free to do and say exactly what he likes, nothing further to lose.
That's right. You don't get gratitude afterwards. Gratitude is merely a lively expectation of favours to come.
May I suggest that instead of trying to butter up the press, we distract them. Let's give them a story.
Such as?
Start a war, that sort of thing.
Start a war?
Only a small war.
Now, if I might intervene, even a small war would be overkill. Why didn't you expel 76 Soviet diplomats? That has been our practice in the past when we... when we wish to ensure that the press lose interest in something.
I can't do that.
It'd be a great headline for you. Government cracks down on red spying. Very patriotic.
It must be a story that nobody can disprove.
And which will be believed even if it's denied. Soviet ambassador's chauffeur is Lieutenant General in KGB.
I can't do that. I've been working at this detente of the Soviets for weeks. It's the only thing that is working at the moment. What do you think, Bernard? You seem to be rather good at getting things into the papers.
Well, what about a royal event?
Such as?
Well, an engagement, a divorce, a pregnancy.
You can arrange that?
Has he read the leak inquiry report?
He's reading them now. Look, how do we handle it?
It's very difficult. There is almost no precedent for handling a leak inquiry which actually finds the culprit.
Especially when the culprit happens to be a senior civil servant.
But I think we can save him.
How? He was at the meeting with the Solicitor General. He's owned up. There can't be any doubt that he is the leaker, can there?
There's going to be.
There, Humphrey, you see? Just as I suspected. Right. I want that press officer at the Department of Energy prosecuted. Section 2 of the Official Secrets Act.
I think not, Prime Minister.
Oh, you think not, do you, Humphrey? Because it's a civil servant, that's
right. Certainly not, Prime Minister, because it is not in your interest.
Not in my interest that somebody should be punished for undermining the whole fabric of government.
Prime Minister, the Attorney General says that a prosecution would not succeed because there are no real security implications.
I don't care. At least we'll make an example of him.
He also advises that if we prosecute, we must first undertake a similar special branch inquiry into the early leak of Chapter 5. You know, your success in Qumran.
Well, that was completely different.
May one ask why?
Well, it's harmless.
Well, the Attorney General says that either both leaks are harmless or neither. So, shall I ask the special branch to work on the Chapter 5 leak?
Oh, all right. Drop the prosecution, but sack the press officer.
Well, that could be difficult. There is some evidence that he was not acting on his own initiative.
Meaning?
He was carrying out the wishes of his Secretary of State.
What?
Yes, apparently the Secretary of State was not displeased at being described, the ablest minister in the cabinet. And he told his press officer that, so far from wanting the chapter suppressed, he would not mind seeing it in the press at once. With special reference to the fact that it might not otherwise be read by the public because of an attempt by Number 10 to censor it.
You sure of this?
I am sure that that's what the press officer's explanation will be when his case for wrongful dismissal comes up before the Industrial Tribunal.
Wrongful dismissal?
He will argue that he was following an implied instruction, carrying out his Secretary of State's wishes.
So I can't sack him?
No.
Well, who can I sack?
Well, Prime Minister, please. You must sack somebody. The only candidate is the Energy Secretary. After all, he is responsible for his department.
I can't do that. I lost one cabinet minister last week. I can't sack another one this week.
Quite, Prime Minister. To lose one cabinet minister may be regarded as a misfortune to lose both. Looks like carelessness. Thank you, Bernard. Furthermore, Prime Minister, as the Energy Secretary did not do the leaking and denied that he asked for it to be done, he might sue for wrongful dismissal as well.
Well, what am I to do? The press is clamoring for the result of this inquiry.
Well, the press office has drafted this statement.
Communications breakdown, misunderstanding, acted in good faith, will be dealt with by internal procedures. This is a whitewash.
No, 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 not really. It shares out the blame equally.
More of a grey wash.
But it'll still make it look as though I tried to suppress that chapter. What am I to do, Humphrey?
Perhaps we should send the story out, but smother it.
Smother it? You mean...
Oh, Prime Minister, I've been meaning to tell you. There's some very worrying information on the Foreign Office files about espionage in the Soviet Embassy and trade delegation.
Oh.
Evidence against a lot of diplomats.
How many?
76.
You know, Humphrey, I think the time has come to be firm.
Absolutely.
After all, the defense of the realm is at stake.
Precisely.
Expel them. And I want the press told today.
At the same time. Yes, Prime Minister.